Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. We've just heard Beausoir, the High Fifths transcription of music of Claude Debussy, performed by our guest today, violinist Maria Bachmann. Well, I am delighted today to be speaking with one of the finest virtuosos that is in the scene today, Maria Bachmann, violinist. Welcome to Crossover, Maria.
Hi.
That's it. Hi. And you have so many accolades, I don't know where to start, but... tell the audience a little bit about your background. You're a graduate of Curtis, is that right?
Yes, I am. And, well, after Curtis, I moved to New York City, as many classical musicians do. And I started on a solo career as well as chamber music career, and have been doing both ever since. Loving the variety. That's, for me, the key to happiness of in music is a lot of variety, so I strive to always be feeding myself with all kinds of interesting projects.
Well, you are very modest, and you have had accolades, as I said earlier, back and forth. Tell us, I think you won various competitions when you were at Curtis, or at least you had just graduated from.
Well, actually, yes, but the beginning of my final year at Curtis, I won the Fritz Kreisler competition in Vienna, Austria, and that was pretty wonderful and received all kinds of press in Philadelphia, which I didn't even know about until I got home, and all kinds of feature stories in the paper. And
It's quite notable to do that. I mean, it's really an amazing award.
Yeah, it was a big competition for me, especially, and then... You know, there were some smaller competitions that I won at the time when I was in school, but basically my teachers encouraged me to not do too many competitions while I was still studying, that there would be time for that later. So I didn't, you know, do too many. I really, you know, was focusing on learning to how to be a great musician and just learning from my teachers.
Well, basically, I guess repertoire and then performing that repertoire,
yes,
right?
Yes, performances. I did perform a lot, both at Curtis and outside of Curtis as well. I had concert engagements while I was in school.
And all over the world, I guess, as well.
Yes, in various places, yes. And then after Curtis, I won the Concert Artists Guild competition in New York, which not only presented me in a New York debut recital, but also became my management for quite a number of years. So they represented me and booked me in recitals and concertos, engagements all over. And then I did some other competitions, but not too many. I did win a prize at Tchaikovsky competition, but it was not one of the absolute top prizes, so I don't think that was really significant for me. But you know, some other competitions led to other things, and I met many composers along the way as well.
Yes, and I was going to ask you about that. Are you partial to the contemporary composers?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite that broadly. I think I do love contemporary music. I love, you know, being able to make a path for new music and audiences to find ways to love new music, because there's some really terrific stuff out there. I don't try to play everything by everybody. I mean, there's such an incredible variety of new music out there today, and some of it is not my cup of tea. Some of it really is.
And here now, the first movement of Paul Moravec's Violin Concerto in a live performance, which WRTI broadcast last week as part of a concert by Symphony in C, conducted by Rawson Milanov, with Maria Bachmann as violin soloist. We just heard the first movement of Paul Moravec's Violin Concerto from a live performance which WRTI broadcast last week as part of a concert by Symphony in C, conducted by Rawson Milanov. Maria Bachmann was violin soloist. You also performed the Violin Concerto by Moravec with Orchestra 2001, isn't that right?
Yes, a couple of years ago. Also a concerto by Jay Rice, who is a local Philadelphia composer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with Philip Glass, among others, playing his music. His music is all tonal as well, as you know. And other composers like John Corigliano, his Red Violin Concerto I played a lot, and numerous other composers. So to me, that is really the future of music. I know, you know, people do a lot of other kind of experimental type of music and what we would call maybe a little more avant-garde. And that's fine, and that maybe is you know, some people really can get into that. That's not really where my heart lies. I think my heart is very much in a certain area. It's not narrow, but it's a pretty broad area, but it is a kind of an area of new music.
Well, you also have you have other hats that you wear while you're playing. I guess you are director of, or you had been director of the is it Telluride
Music Fest? Yes, I am still the director of it, and we're coming up this summer on our 11th season of programs. And I'm the artistic director there, and I am loving doing that. My trio is there, Trio Celesti.
Yes, the Trio Celesti. I actually met you. That was the first time I actually met you when we talked. We had a crossover on Trio Celesti.
Yes,
very very appealing music and very very fine. Just delightful. I think that was it's a little out of the vein that you're normally doing, and that seems to be moving very nicely along. Isn't that right?
Yes. Well, the trio has been together actually just 10. No, this is our 11th season, actually. So we have been together quite a number of years, and we do a good bit of very adventurous programming besides the standard repertoire. I think you and I had spoken about cafe music, RCD.
Yes.
With Trio Celesti, and that had a lot of music by Piazzolla on it.
Well, that's why. That's one of my great loves.
Yes.
But you had certainly had the feeling as well as the, of course, the artistry. But you have done many things. I understand that you were at WQXR in New York. You had a series there. Was that it?
Yes, there was a program called On Air, A-I-R, which meant artists in radio, and I did program and coordinate quite a number of shows. There were about maybe 40 of them, hour-long shows, and both with my trio and as a soloist and with many guest artists, I came up with a theme for each program. For instance, why do composers pick a certain key to write a certain piece?
Interesting.
And how that key, for instance, the key of C minor, which Mozart and Beethoven used prolifically for very stormy music, then became this key that people like Brahms and Mendelssohn also used in their stormy music. So why did they go to C minor and how that influenced other composers after them, and you know, just different kinds of relationships and thoughts and ideas about music. So that was a lot of fun doing that at WQXR.
We're speaking with violinist Maria Bachmann, who has just recently released a new album on the Bridge label with pianist Adam Nyman. It's called French Fantasy, and it is a collection of works, Debussy, César Franck, and Camille Saint-Saëns. Here now, the second movement, the Fantasque et Léger, from the Sonata in G minor by Claude Debussy. Maria Bachmann, violin, Adam Nyman, piano. From their new album on the Bridge label, French Fantasy, we've heard the second movement of the Sonata in G minor by Claude Debussy, Fantasque et Léger, with Maria Bachmann violin and Adam Nyman piano. You were in a documentary as well, right?
Yes.
Orchestra of Exiles, is that something?
Yes, I was a music consultant. My husband is a documentary filmmaker, director.
I see.
And his most recent movie is called Orchestra of Exiles. It's being premiered all over the world right now. And he's traveling to many festivals and screenings all over. It's about how Bronislaw Huberman in the 1930s made it his mission to found an orchestra in Palestine, which eventually became the Israel Philharmonic. Mm-hmm. And he really sacrificed his own life, his career, for several years, 3-4 years, and did everything politically that he had to do, which was not so easy at the time, to be able to save Jewish musicians who had, at that point, just been fired from their jobs and couldn't make a living, find work. And he had a feeling that things were going to get worse before they got better, and unfortunately he was right.
Yes.
So he made it his mission to found an orchestra to get the best musicians out of Europe, if possible, as soon as he could. So it's a wonderful movie, and I did help my husband on that, besides playing numerous different selections.
Well, where is it? It was released, I believe,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's been released. It's premiered in New York and L.A. and all over this country, maybe perhaps not in Philadelphia yet. It's screening at many different festivals. We were in Berlin in November for a screening there. He's going to London this week for a screening. It's been in Paris. There's Israel's coming up in March. So it's actually all over the world. And in fact, many places where the Israel Philharmonic performs on tour in a concert, they'll have a screening of the movie maybe a week before or something.
Well, I hope that you'll let me know if it's going to be in Philadelphia or...
Yes, actually, it's going to be on nationwide on PBS in April.
Ah, okay.
Yes. And I know that here in New York, it's April 14th is the scheduled date, but perhaps other cities might be slightly different schedule.
Yeah.
You have to look on your local programming.
That sounds marvelous.
Yes.
Just marvelous. Well, that's quite a good combination, a filmmaker and a musician. I can't think of how did you meet?
Well, mutual friends of ours in California who knew both of us decided we might get along well, and they were right.
They were right. I think I always like to see a good duo, whether it be music or a personal one. Now, let's talk a little bit about this amazing, beautiful, wonderful album. As I said, I am very excited about Maria Bachmann, who is my idea of a consummate artist. You are performing with Adam Nyman at the piano, who is really quite amazing as well. A beautiful selection of, I guess, sonatas by French composers. It's called French Fantasy, and I would like you to talk about it a little bit.
Yes. Well, we have on French Fantasy CD, we have the Fidel Franck Sonata, as well as Claude Debussy's Sonata, and Saint-Saëns' first Sonata in D minor, and one short work, which actually we opened the disc with, Bossoir, arranged by Yasha Heifetz, and that's
Like
Debussy.
And how beautifully you play it, you know, it's really quite lovely. And then, of course, all of the sonatas have an amazing color palette. I mean, the movements are very, very defined, I think. You have any mood that you want, you've got it. The César Franck is really quite beautiful as well.
Thank you. Well, I find the French composers have a very different sound and world, a sort of imagination and color palette than, say, perhaps the Germanic composers. I mean, they really, and part of the reason I called this CD French Fantasy is that there's a real fantastical, imaginative world that these French composers delve into and explore and take us to. And I enjoy it so much. I enjoy playing, you know, of course, other wonderful composers as well, but the French composers are special and take you to a special place and special sound, and I was really striving to find that kind of sound world, the colors that Debussy and Franck evoke. It's very sometimes very smoky and sensual and bluesy.
Yes.
Even. It's interesting. It's very, it's not your standard kind of sound, and I really tried hard, and my pianist Adam Neiman is also a beautiful player with French repertoire.
Also on the album is the Sonata No. 1 in D minor by Camille Saint-Saëns. Here is the Allegro Molto, performed by Maria Bachmann violin and Adam Neiman piano. The Allegro Molto from the Sonata No. 1 in D minor, Opus 75 by Camille Saint-Saëns, performed by Maria Bachmann violin and Adam Neiman piano. And you also dedicated the album, rather an interesting thing, here to a woman.
Yes, to Yvette May. She was a wonderful French violinist and teacher, and a very, very good friend of mine, Vincent May. His mother was this French violinist, and he told me that her favorite piece was the César Franck Sonata.
That's wonderful work.
I mean, of course, it's many people's favorite work.
That's wonderful.
It's just one of the most glorious and special pieces that have ever been written. And
glorious
so
is the word. I think you hit it. Glorious
it is. It's
the word.
It's really glorious. Really. It's uplifting. It's magical. It's transporting. And, you know, it's become one of the, you know, top violin repertoire pieces of all time, and with good reason. So I wanted to dedicate this to her memory because she was sort of an unsung hero of you know, in the violin world. She didn't ever achieve a certain acclaim. It was not a time period when women were able to have careers. I mean, she was born in around 1900. And so she married and moved to South Africa with her husband and raised a family. But she was a special artist, and I can even though I didn't know her, I know she was a special artist because Vincent, my friend, is so special and loves music so much. And the Franck Sonata brings tears to him all the time. He's, you know, just weeping, and it's just a special piece. And it's a special piece for me as well. I've always felt a very special connection to the Franck Sonata. It's never become old hat to me. And it's hard to explain why, but the beauty of it, the sheer beauty and love in that piece is just palpable. So I have these special connections.
She's a very beautiful woman. You have a picture of her with very piercing eyes and just very, very, very beautiful and intense and lovely, to that you could have dedicated that and acknowledged her. Music next of César Franck from his Sonata in A Major. We hear the Recitativo Fantasia and the Allegretto Poco Mosso, performed by violinist Maria Bachmann and pianist Adam Nyman. Music of César Franck from his Sonata in A Major. We heard the Recitativo Fantasia and the Allegretto Poco Mosso, the last two movements, performed by violinist Maria Bachmann and pianist Adam Nyman. You also have all of the sonatas have the contrasting movements, of course, where you can show some passion and then of course some contemplative parts as well. But are they demanding technically in any particular way more than anything else?
Well, yes. I mean, to find a special sound for especially certain things like the Debussy in particular, I find requires, it takes work. You don't just immediately pick up the violin and find that French sound. It doesn't happen.
Well, Debussy, I think, it's interesting because his orchestral works don't really, I mean, there's a lot of dissonance in his chamber works. You can hear that. It's very interesting, much more exposed than you would in his larger works. You kind of think of Debussy as, like Monet or something like that, but it's not. There's a lot going on there, and it's very exposed in his chamber works, I think.
It is. It's very actually sort of clear and crystalline, but yet the mood, what's evocative about it is finding that world, that area that music lives. It's not direct in a way that Germanic music is. It's not at all like Brahms, for instance.
No, right.
Like with Brahms, I would use a very fat, thicker sound, a more core sound from the violin. And in French music, that's not what you want. You want a more airy, above the ground kind of sound, something that's not into the string as much, but resonates and rings with the lightness and sort of effervescence, and sometimes smoky, and sometimes I use an extreme, I put the bow very, very far down on the fingerboard to get an extreme soltasto kind of sound, which is very, very smoky. It almost sounds like a flute, in fact.
It's an impressionistic sound, I guess.
Exactly. And I've tried to vary my vibrato a lot also in the French music. It's not a juicy, what I would use in Tchaikovsky concerto, for instance. It's not quite that. It's something else. So there is a technical aspect to finding these different sounds and colors in the in the pieces, and then how you make all those sounds work with the architecture of the pieces is also very important, because you have to take the listener on a journey, on a ride, and not lose the thread of the story anywhere. So that's a very important part of figuring out how to play these pieces.
Well, I imagine also when you're playing them after a while, as with anything in the arts, you become more profound and you have more insight as you work at it and find a place that fits, you know, what you want to do, not only on the violin, but inside of your heart.
Exactly.
And you are really just a joy to listen to and to speak to as well, Maria. You have a website if people want to contact you or see more about what you're doing. Is that right? What is it?
Yes, it's mariabachman.com.
Oh, that's easy.
And just make sure you spell Bachman with two N's.
Yes, I was going to say that because I was looking something up with your name, and I said, "Is it double N or is it just a single one?" And there's a different Bachman with a single N. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Once again, lots of luck, and we'll be looking for every new thing that you decide to do.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again. Take care.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group, Incorporated. Thanks for listening.